I'm Manny Pacheco, and I'm glad you stopped by on Forgotten Hollywood. I've written an award-winning book series sharing America's story through the eyes of actors from Hollywood's golden age. And Joe Lyons will offer this week's On the Backlot Report. Today we'll examine the post-World War II and 1950s instrumental gems featured in cinema and television. Many composers were well-versed in the development of film scores and background themes by the third generation of Hollywood's golden age. While we're not able to capture a total perspective, several gems will give us a feel of what is commonly known as the age of the baby boomer. We begin with Orson Welles and his Cold War masterpiece, The Third Man. Using the old-school zither, his offbeat theme was perfect in tying the traditional European lifestyle with the postmodern realities of espionage during the spread of communism. Then we'll follow with the instrumental classic that began as a B-side to the theme from Helen of Troy by Les Baxter, which became a massive hit for Capitol Records. It was called The Poor People of Paris, and it resonated because it reminded us of the Nazi occupation during the war. Forgotten Hollywood is feeling a little nostalgic today.
Thank you.
Forgotten Hollywood is enjoying instrumental standards during the days of President Truman and Eisenhower. That last piece was also wonderfully performed in French by the late, great Edith Piaf. Perez Prado was an international celebrity who performed in films in the U.S. and Europe, as well as in Mexican cinema. His biggest release was Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White, which was used in the movie Underwater in 1954, where Jane Russell can be seen dancing to the iconic number. His follow-up was the enjoyable Patricia, featured at several points in Federico Fellini's La Dolce Vita. Forgotten Hollywood travels abroad to remember these lovely compositions.
Thank you.
forgotten Hollywood enjoys number one instrumentals, seldom remembered or seldom played on the radio today. Manny Pacheco with you on Forgotten Hollywood. Stranger in Paradise was a popular song from the 1953 musical Kismet and is credited to Robert Wright and George Forrest. Like all the music in this particular show, the melody was taken from classical music composed by Alexander Borodin. Vic Damone and Anne Blythe performed the music in the 1955 film. Percy Faith and his live orchestras used the new medium of radio broadcasting to begin his long career, beginning with defunct stations CKNC and CKCL. Faith was a staple of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's live music team from 1933 to 1940, when he decided to resettle in Chicago. In 1945, he became a naturalized citizen of the U.S. He made many recordings for Voice of America. The song from Moulin Rouge was heard in the 1952 motion picture. In Moulin Rouge, the tune was sung by Muriel Smith, dubbing for actress Zsa Zsa Gabor. His biggest hit, however, was almost a decade away. Forgotten Hollywood is here to unveil them for you.
Thank you.
Manny Pacheco with you. The composition from A Summer Place was so identified to the work of Percy Faith, I would be remiss to remind our forgotten Hollywood audience that it was actually written by Max Steiner. Max, in fact, was really miffed his name was often omitted from this observation. It was also recorded for the film by Hugo Winterhalter, yet Faith remains the go-to version of this masterful tune. Well, enough of this brouhaha. May I present the first number one recording from the British in the pop era? And let me remind you, it's not the Beatles. Here's Mr. Acker Bilk from the BBC television series Stranger on the Shore on Forgotten Hollywood. Come back in just a bit with more fabulous instrumentals of the post-war era. Hi, I'm author Manny Pacheco. Son of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History is the brand new book telling America's story through the eyes of actors from Hollywood's golden age, including Frank Morgan, Marjorie Main, and Andy Devine. Son of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History features iconic cinema, including The Maltese Falcon, High Noon, and The Hollywood Canteen. The original Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History has been the recipient of the gold medal at the 2010 World Book Awards and has been added at the prestigious libraries of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences and the American Film Institute. You can purchase both paperbacks on Amazon and at selected Barnes & Noble bookstores. And you can download the first book to your virtual library as an ebook for your Kindle, Nook, or on your favorite e-reader through Sony or Apple. The Forgotten Hollywood book series makes a perfect gift for a family member or friend. Visit ForgottenHollywood.com or on Amazon and pick up or download a copy of these books today. This is Forgotten Hollywood. I'm Manny Pacheco. One's theme was the 1956 motion picture Western from 20th Century Fox that starred Robert Ryan, Virginia Mayo, Jeffrey Hunter, and Walter Brennan. Manny Pacheco reminding you that you're tuned to Forgotten Hollywood. Nelson Riddle was a composer and protege of Les Baxter. One of his first arrangements, though not credited, was Mona Lisa. While at Capitol, Riddle continued his successful film arranging career, most notably with MGM's Conrad Salinger on the first on-screen duet between Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra in High Society, and the 1957 film version of Pal Joey, which was directed by George Sidney for Columbia Pictures. Before I turn the reins over to Joe Lyons and his On the Back Lot report with Hardcore Corn. Yes, Steve, I said corn. Corn. Let me feature a couple of the most iconic instrumental themes of the 1950s, and both were the Oscar winners in the Best Picture category. Forgotten Hollywood is on your radio dial. Joe Lyons with his On the Backlot Report, with current news and notes that reference Hollywood's past.
Hi, I'm Joe Lyons. Welcome to this week's visit to On the Backlot, where we discover the past is still relevant today, where the movies, the music, and the people who brought it to us still touch our lives. So, grab some popcorn and join us down front in the theater as we take our stroll through the studio backlot. Well, Manny and Steve, most of Hollywood's backlots only grow weeds these days, but Hollywood has grown a lot of corn to make great movies. In fact, in Superman Returns in 2006, they planted about 14 acres of corn where they were filming it in Australia. And since they were filming out of season, they had to develop a whole new corn hybrid, which I understand is still being grown down there. Of course, some Superman movies, like the first Christopher Reeve film, had acres of wheat on the Kent farm in Smallville instead. But there are many other cornfields on the sets of Hollywood films. Remember Oklahoma? The corn was as high as the elephant's eye. In Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner found that some of baseball's greats were hiding out there. In Signs, Mel Gibson discovered crop symbols and aliens. Will Smith almost got decapitated while running through the corn stalks in Wild Wild West. The cornfield was also critical to the climax of Twister, where they needed to anchor the truck that helped launch those little weather transponders. In The X-Files, Fight the Future, the cornfield fed the bees that transmitted the alien DNA. And if that lost you completely, you'd just have to rent the DVD. In the Harry Potter movies, I'm not sure what was growing in the fields around the burrow where the Weasley family lived, but I'm pretty sure it was not corn. However, several Children of the Corn films had a lot of corn, and by that I mean the plants, but yeah, the scripts had a lot of corn as well. There were also corn in the field where the Jeepers Creepers scarecrow started out, and yes, the scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz was trying to protect the corn. He was better as a dancer. In television's version of Stephen King's The Stand, Randall Flagg, the Prince of Darkness, often could be found in a cornfield in his crow disguise. Now, Randy Quaid was a crop duster in Independence Day, but he did not dust corn. But the crop duster in Disney's new film Planes not only dusted the cornfields, he darn near destroyed them. Speaking of crop dusters, is there an iconic cornfield scene? Absolutely, it'd have to be North by Northwest. Who but Hitchcock would even consider taking a suave, sophisticated Cary Grant and have him run through the cornfields with a machine gun firing biplane swooping down over the corn and tossing Grant, in his expensive suit, down into the dirt. Fortunately for me, I love corn, especially corn on the cob and corn pancakes. Hollywood, it would seem, loves corn as well. After all, for all of the corn that the movies have grown, they only grew one tree in Brooklyn. But, Annie and Steve, I can't go without mentioning every moviegoer's favorite corn. That's right. It's that big, buttery bucket of theater popcorn that we all grab at the concession stand and carry down front to add to our film-watching experience. That's my corn report on the Backlot.
Thanks to you, Joe Lyons. Your On the Backlot report was stellar. And our producer, Steve Guzman, is seldom heard chatting with us. He is the vocal equivalent of a tremendous instrumental standard who produces an exemplary program. Let me leave you with Yakety Sax, the 1958 composition by Boots Randolph that is most famously known to television audiences as the goofy theme song to the Benny Hill Show, the program which actually debuted on the small screen in 1955. Join us next week for another edition of Forgotten Hollywood. And remember, let's never forget. I'm Manny Pacheco.